Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Psalm 95 is on the very first page. We're kind of sticking with this because I know that some of us are pretty new to psalmody. And if you get the tune and you get the words, we'll all sound pretty good together. Then we'll move on at some point. How about that? We don't have to sing the same songs every month, but we'll get started that way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Praise.
That song is pretty praiseworthy. If you notice what we sang, if you paid attention to it, it speaks of how all the heavens, sun, the moon, the stars, have been commanded a decree which will never pass away. It means it's never going to be fulfilled or done away with. That the sun and moon will always be there to secure God's covenant, or his token of his secure covenant, I should say. And that God commanded it to be that way, and that it's always going to be that way. You can always trust in him. So it's something we've definitely talked about, and that's what the next psalm is about. So Psalm 81 will be the last psalm we sing for now. If you go to the next page. Hebrews chapter 8, 7 through 13, but it's also first written in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. And we'll do this responsibly, and then we get down to behold the covenant. We can just all read it together. We don't have to go back and forth. So we'll just, everybody get, read it together. For if that covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said,
behold, the day is come, saith Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt.
Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regard them not, saith Yahweh.
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord.
I will put my laws into their minds, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying,
Know the Lord.
For all shall know me from the least to the greatest.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
In that he saith a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away. The pledge of the covenant is where it's specifically linked. The very next page is specifically linked to the moon's remembrance and the sun, which we sang about in Psalm 148. And so there should be a double remembrance there for us. From Jeremiah 31, 35 through 37, immediately following what we just read. Thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day,
and the ordinances of the moon and stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof pour.
Yahweh of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahweh,
then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever.
Thus saith Yahweh,
if heaven above to be measured, and the foundations of the earth serve God in thee,
I will cast also off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahweh. And so, since you looked out the window this morning and you saw the sun, and if you were paying attention to the moon this month, you saw the moon, God's covenant mercy is still there with us, and we don't have anything to worry about. So, with that being said, we're going to have some of the fathers who are willing to read the Old and New Testament readings today come forward, and then we'll move on. Old Testament volunteers.
Numbers 28:11. Then at the beginning of each of your months, you shall bring near a burnt offering to Yahweh, two bulls from the herd, and one ram, seven male lambs, 1 year old without blemish. Numbers 10:10. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your appointed feast, and on the first day of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be as a remembrance of you before your God. I am Yahweh, your God.
New Testament Christian?
Yes, sir.
It's up
from. Oh, okay.
We got one more volunteer.
So this is
the New Testament passage.
Colossians 2, 6 through 17.
Yep.
All right. Okay, so we're reading Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 17. So that's Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 17. As ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in the meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And
you almost can't read Colossians 2 without reading Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua, who is Jesus thy Christ, once for all.
Amen. I think everybody can give an amen to that. I had brought my paper Bible because I didn't know what kind of setup we got here, and I use it for other reasons, but I'm glad I brought my computer because there's no lights up here. So you never know what you're walking into, right? Yeah. Well, hopefully everybody had some understanding of why we read the scriptures that we read on the new moon. It's just one of a list of them that you kind of couple together in order to validate your claims, which is what we're going to study to some extent today. If you consider what we read, first we read the law that commanded that the new moon be observed, and it was to be done by sacrifice. And we read another law that commanded that the trumpet was to be blown, which we did when we sang Psalm 81. And then after that, we looked at the New Testament scriptures that tells us how we still have a sacrifice present for us in the body of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, my hair stands up on the back of my neck every time I read Psalm 41, which was quoted in the text. Oh, look at that. My wife's looking out for me.
That work?
As long as nobody says I'm on a soapbox, I'm good.
No.
We'll give it a try. So with that being said, I hope those were coupled together in your mind as we considered what we read today, because it's a very important aspect of it. You oftentimes hear people say things like, you know, there's no sacrifices for today and that. There's actually a whole bunch of sacrifices that we've already conducted today if your heart's been engaged. And that's the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. Be not transformed to the world, but be renewed in the renewing of your mind. to the perfect and acceptable will of God. So there's multiple sacrifices left, the most important of which is Christ that gives us the ability to accomplish all the others. And so with that being said, let's take our hearts into some contemplation of some other scriptures. And I'm going to go through the liturgy of this particular new moon from the Bible and looking at the scriptures that cover that. And then we'll go into some exhortation and admonition on scripture that I got prepared as well. Can anybody, if you just raise your hand if you want to. Does anybody know the first time the 10th month is mentioned in the Bible? Ooh, the flood. Right? So this very day of the new moon, well, let me back up, agriculturally speaking, so the land they lived in would have looked similar. This very day, this very new moon, we are told in the book of Genesis, that's chapter 8, verse 5, that the waters of the flood decreased continually until the 10th month and the tops of the mountains were seen. And it specifically tells us that happened at a time of the moon, this time of the moon, the new moon of the 10th month. So the very first mentioning of it is in that way. I should have mentioned this before, but the name for the 10th month, which is not given until later in Scripture, the Hebrew name is called Tebeth, and it literally means the month of being housed. Can anybody think of why it would be called the agricultural month of being housed? It's getting cold, yeah. You don't want to have a house about right now, because next week they got single digits in our area coming up. So you want to get into your house. So Tebeth, the month of being housed. Isn't that pretty neat? It's just part of the natural nature of it all. Also, whenever you look at a very important situation in the Scriptures, and one that you probably don't hear a whole lot about these days, is Ezra chapter 10, 16 through 17, which we're going to look at a little bit today in considering something. But I'm just going to read the pertinent portion. Ezra 10, 16 through 17. It tells us that at this exact new moon, at this time, it says, Ezra the priest with certain of the chiefs of the fathers, after the house of their father, and all of them by their names, were separated, and they sat down in the 10th month to examine the matter, and they made an end with all of the men that had taken strange wives. And so this is the time when the mountains appeared in Genesis, but in the book of Ezra, this is the time where the people of Israel had to separate themselves from all the marriages they shouldn't have made while they were in captivity and they were ignorant of God's law. And the people had came together to consider this matter and to say, what are we going to do about this? This is a big deal. And they did something about it. And it took all the way until the first new moon of next year. So this is the 10th month. So you have the 11th up to the 11th, 1 month. 12th, and this year we have a 13th month coming. But 2 or 3 months, depending on that, it took for them to sort this problem out. The men got together for that many days to figure out what they're going to do about these problems. So it was obviously a very serious matter, and it wasn't until next year, in the biblical sense of the year, that this would have been remembered.
Just to make a note, like in that very same passage in the very beginning, they were sore afraid because the rain.
Oh yeah, because it was rain and the weather. So, weather was bad. See, good point. Good reference. So, Brother Dwayne's letting us know that even in the book of Ezra, it cites the type of weather going on during the 10th month. Very good. And so, with all that being said, there's only one other smaller mention, and that's in the book of Esther. And this is the exact month that Esther was taken, Queen Esther, was taken by Ahasuerus, which is what our Hebrew Bibles call him, Xerxes actually in the Greek. And she was taken into the palace at this time. So there's three pretty major events that took place in the Bible that are documented, and most people just kind of live life and maybe read the story here or there, but they don't got nothing to link it to. And it's kind of important to link it to something, and so if you get in tune with the calendar of God, you have a biblical ability to say, hey, what can we read this week? What kind of devotions maybe should we have to think about something? And these are good times to think about it because God memorialized it to be thought about. So it is an important situation. Mm-hmm.
their sins with chastisement. Yet I'll not take my love from him, nor false my promise made. My covenant I'll not break nor change. What with my mouth I say. Once by my holiness I swear, to David I'll not lie. His seed and throne shall as the sun before me last for aye. If like the moon shall ever be established steadfastly, and like to that which in the heaven doth witness faithfully.
Amen. Brother John, would you mind saying a prayer for Fuzzy and pray for our meal?
Father Yahweh, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your appointments for the renewal of this with us all around. We look forward to the coming renewal as the seasons progress. We ask that you bless our time here in fellowship, and that we can nourish each other in our fellowship. Help us to glorify you and to be the light that represents your goodness. In Jesus' name.
Amen. God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines into the darkness, and darkness comprehends it not. And there was a man sent from God, and his name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was the one of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. With that said, let's ask for a word of prayer, and then Brother Duane is going to step up. Father Yahweh, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your written word. We thank you for your word made flesh, which is your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to show us the living way. We thank you for all the blessings that your word gives us, all the lessons of the Bible, all the things that are written in the Holy Scriptures and the law and the prophets and the wisdom and in the New Testament and the apostles' writings. Everything that you've given us is for our good, and none of it is to be refused. We just ask you, Father, to bless the lesson that Brother Duane has for us, that we would put it in accordance with your word, and that we would be able to learn something from it in that application. Ask you to give him a hand of blessing upon him to help him speak and to communicate what he wants to. Ask you to just give his hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we stand together again? We are going to conclude our time together formally here soon. I hope it's been helpful for fellowship, getting everybody together, kids being able to enjoy each other's company. Hope you learned something from Duane's mapping it out and showing you how that's like. And there it is. And I hope we've all got something from it. Psalm 19. B. Now, I'm going to point something out. The first section of Psalm 19 deals with the heavens declaring the glory of God and the firmament showing his handiwork. But the second part of the psalm deals with God's law and how perfect it is. Now, in David's mind, he is going to teach us a principle of God's law based on the heavens, which is why this is a fit song to be sung for the new moon and for the Sabbath, because God is saying, or David is saying, through by God's Holy Spirit, that take a look at this. The heavens are perfect and they work perfectly, and God's written word is perfect also. And so it conveys one message. It's not like two psalms, it's one message. So good things to consider as we sing it. We'll give a hum out so we catch it again, because that's the best way to go about it, I think, with no instruments. Thank you. The uniting bond between us is our forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ is our true fellowship. And so you can have all kinds of things the same with one another, but if you don't have that the same, you're really not connected. You don't really have fellowship. And John's going to teach us that very briefly. And so what we're going to do is we'll do what we did last week, is we will read what the Apostle John tells us, and then we'll go to Exodus chapter 20, and I will read one of the commandments. And if you agree with that and you confess your sin, that you would like God to forgive that, and I don't know who would want to argue that, you just say amen, and I'll read again. And so that's not how we always do it together. We usually read it all together, but it's a good way to do it. It's the ancient way of doing it when people didn't have Bibles, everybody having a Bible, and that was the way we decided to do it, so all the children could participate as well. So if you're in the confession of fellowship by forgiveness of sin, which should come right after, you go to the New Covenant, Pledge of the Covenant, says Genesis, got some scriptures, and then confession of fellowship and forgiveness of sin. And I would ask you, if you would, to read this section with me. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if you'll listen along, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 20, where the Ten Commandments are contained. They're also contained in Deuteronomy chapter 5, but we usually do not use that. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Amen.
And all the people said,
Amen.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. And all the people said,
Amen.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And all the people said,
Amen.
Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh thy God in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And all the people said,
Amen.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And all the people said,
Amen.
Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And all the people said,
Amen.
Thou shalt not kill. And all the people said,
Amen.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. And all the people said,
Amen.
Thou shalt not steal. And all the people said,
Amen.
Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And all the people said,
Amen.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people said,
Amen.
Go back to the pamphlet on that section. We'll finish the concluding statement of the Apostle John, and we'll read it together. We who say that we have fellowship should not sin. But if we do sin, there is an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for our sin only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his words, that the truth be in us. Amen.
And we're going to also conclude with our joint confession of the what is called commonly the Athanasian Creed or the Athanasian Confession, put together by Athanasius, who was persecuted for the words of this particular document when he was in flight on account of the whole world turning against him for what he believed. And this was put together by many learned men of the past. They did not discuss absolutely everything the Bible talks about. But one of the things they were so focused on for many, many decades was understanding the pure concepts of Scripture concerning who Christ was, who the Father was, who the Spirit was, and how this thing works. So this is a very important document, in my opinion. It's very important to the Christian faith, and it's probably the first thing that people give up when they start going towards heresy. And I think that this, just as an encouragement for a joint confession of this belief, is very important. Whosoever will be saved before all things, it is necessary that he hold the uniting faith, which faith except one do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt, he shall perish everlastingly. The uniting faith is this:
thou shalt worship one Yahweh God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity,
neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance.
For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit.
But the Godhead of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one.
The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such is the Father, and such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, and the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal.
And also there are not three uncreated, nor three infinite, but one uncreated and one infinite.
So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three Almighties, but one Almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Spirit Lord.
And yet not three Lord Yahwehs, but one Yahweh.
For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord,
so we are forbidden by the united religion to say there be three gods or three lords.
The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten.
The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son,
neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, I think we missed something. In this Trinity, none is before or after another. None is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal and co-equal.
So that in all things, as aforesaid, the unity is in Trinity, and the Trinity is in unity to be worshipped.
He therefore that will be saved must have in the Trinity.
Furthermore, it is necessary, everlasting salvation, that one also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess
that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the world, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world.
Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting.
Equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood.
Who, although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ.
One not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of the manhood in God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the reasonable soul in flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sitteth on the right hand of the Father God Almighty.
From whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
At whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies,
and shall give an account for their own works.
And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire.
This is the united faith, which except one believes, they are not saved. On the back side, we'll go through the two benedictions, and then we are done formally. And so I think we'll have to talk to John about how late we were supposed to be here tonight, because John spoke with the folks today. Okay, we're getting close now. All right. Anyway, I'd ask you to read this with me. I do not claim to be a priest, and so I ask you to say it along with me rather than feeling like you're going to get blessed, because I can't do that. Yahweh bless us and keep us. Yahweh make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
John, would you mind closing us in a word of prayer, possibly?
Father Yahweh, we thank you for your word and all that it reveals to us, the light that it provides in our lives. We ask that you help us to conform to that through the revelation of your word. We thank you for the chance to fellowship today, and we pray that even our fellowship is pleasing to you. We ask that you bless this journey home, that you get us all home safe, so that we might continue to glorify you. In the name of your Son, Yeshua.
Amen. Amen.